Amen. Before I call on Pastor Aida, she would minister to us the Word of God. You know, one thing that we are thankful for is, as a body, as a family of believers, one name of the church is a household of faith. You know, we're like a family here. And so important milestones in the lives of each one, of course, we recognize, and it gives us an opportunity to pray for them. But later on after the service, we're going to honor someone. Can I just say first that, you know, we're so thankful for the so many people that God has brought our way to be alongside of us in the work of God. Because people are blessings. People can be used by God to be a blessing to us. And her life is such a blessing, not just to me personally, but to all of us. Amen. And I'm talking about Sister Janet. So later on after the service, we're going to honor her and just pray for her, Sister Janet. She's celebrating her umpteenth birthday on November 6th. November 6th, talking about November 6th, it's election day. So for those of you who are registered to vote, let's do our civic duty. Amen. For we know that, you know, God would use us as we prayerfully cast our ballots. Amen. So how many of you are excited to hear the Word of God? Amen, amen. And let's welcome Pastor Aida. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Aida.
Thank you, brother. Praise God forever. Hallelujah.
Brother.
So good to be here always. You know, once a month just sometimes is not enough. We'd like to be here more often, but we have commitments as well, you know, in other churches and, of course, in our church. But what a pleasure and what an honor to be here today. And that we get to honor Sister Janet. Ooh, I like that. You know, to honor one another, it's just, it's what God does. God honors us. And so we pass it forward. We pay it forward in Jesus' name. And I'd like to honor someone that we brought with us today. And that would be Sister Olivia. And she is, yes, amen. She's our spiritual daughter. She's one of our spiritual daughters. And she was, we were just kind of thinking how long she'd been with us in our church. We've known each other, I don't even know, Olivia, 20, 30, 30 years. Oh, my gosh. But she was one of the pioneers of the church and one of the leaders in our church. And so the relationship continues. And so I'm so glad that she was able to be here with us today. And before I get to the word of the Lord, I just want to say I'm so glad that Pastor Monet is back here, and she looks wonderful and she looks well. And I haven't seen Mama, but I know I will a little bit later on. And, you know, we've just remained in prayer, because we know sickness and disease is not of God. We know health and healing is. And so we call upon the God who heals, restores, and strengthens our bodies. So before I get to his word, let me just open up in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for all that you do, for who you are in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, and it's not just the things you do, Father God, that we are thankful for, but it's because we serve the one true God. We know the one true God. We know the God of the universe. We know the Creator. We know you intimately, Lord Jesus. You've allowed us. You've given us access to know you, to know you. And not just to know you, but to receive you into our lives, to allow you to be God and Lord of our lives. We surrender, hallelujah, our lives to you. We surrender our call to you. We surrender our destiny to you. We surrender our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we surrender. And I pray this nation surrenders unto your Lordship. I pray that the city, Lord, the cities begin to surrender their ways to your ways, Lord. I pray that your Lordship would be sovereign over this nation, over your church, over our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would empty ourselves so that you might fill us to overflowing. And so I just thank you, Lord, that this is a new day, Lord Jesus. We're closing out a year, but nevertheless, it's a new day, Lord Jesus. There's a shift that's taking place in the atmosphere. Lord, there's a shift that's taking place in our nation, in this state, Lord. I declare it by the power of your name, Lord. There's a godly shift coming to California. Lord, I thank you that Christians, churches across the land are rising up and taking their place and declaring your word, Lord Jesus. Not only over the nation and over the state, but over the church and over our children, over our families, Lord Jesus.
We take your word and we declare it over our very lives. Your word over our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, remind us that we're blood-bought children. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you, my God. Have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. And so I just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I thank you that your word is anointed. Your word is powerful. Your word is God-spilled, Holy Spirit-inspired, Lord. It will not return unto us void today. Your word goes out today. Let it do what you intended to do, Lord. I pray that you have prepared hearts today, Lord Jesus. You prepared me to deliver. You prepared us to receive you today, perhaps in a new way, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you for the things you've done. We thank you for the old way, Lord. I thank you for the things that you're doing. I thank you for the new thing today, Lord. I thank you for the now move of God. And I thank you for all that you shall do tomorrow, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we love you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And those of us who agree with this prayer, we say, amen, amen, amen. Open your Bibles, please, if you have them, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Glory to God. You know, Lou and I returned on this past Sunday from Utah. We were in the state of Utah. We were ministering there in a church that another spiritual daughter of us started. They began a church in Utah some almost 4 years ago. And so they'd been inviting us to go there and minister the word of God there and be there with them. You know, they're our spiritual children, and they wanted us to be there with them. And so we finally said yes. And, you know, not that we didn't want to go, but there's so many things. But we said, yes, we're going. And we said we were going, and Lou and I were in a good place health-wise. And then when it was time to go, my husband was not necessarily in a good place health-wise. But we decided to go anyway. We said, you know, God, we committed. It's to minister to this church and to our spiritual son and daughter. And so you make a way where there seems to be no way. And where there seems to be challenges, Lord, you remove the challenges so that we can do what you've called us to do there. And so we went. And I'll tell you a little bit of what took place. But going there, and my husband, and I'll share that with you, coming downstairs, we were staying in their homes, Pastor Danny and Michelle Rashid. We were staying in their home, and upstairs were the bedrooms. And my husband would come down every morning, very challenged, very, very challenged. But he would come down every morning, and he would sing, "He is risen! He is risen!" Speaking about himself, because sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed. Because you're in so much pain and so many symptoms and side effects from so many treatments and medications. But he would sing every morning coming down, "He is risen." And we'd all look up and we'd go, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." So I just want to share that was the inspiration of this message that I'm about to give you. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is... Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. I'm reading out of the Amplified, so it'll go on and on a little bit. Being the proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And then if you continue on in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll hear about the faith of our founding fathers, the patriarchs and the matriarchs. And it tells you, for by faith Abraham, for by faith Moses, for by faith these that have gone before us accomplished the will of God, the purpose of God in their lives. But what I want you to understand as we read this in verse 1, chapter 11, now faith is, God is telling us that now faith is, now is the moment. Now is the time. He's emphasizing the time of faith. It is now. It's not your faith that you expressed or walked in or applied or activated yesterday. It's faith today for what faces you today. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is emphasizing the now, the today factor. In other words, we have got to declare, today I believe. Today I believe. Today I am healed. Today I am a conqueror. Today I am more than victorious. He didn't tell you to look at the circumstances and then say these things. He just said, say these things now by faith. Today I'm free. So do you know that today you're to walk out your salvation? I was saved at the age of 8 years of age. That's why those children back there, we don't babysit them. We train them. We equip them. We lay hands on them. We invest in them. We give them the word. We pray over them. We minister to them. Because those are ministers, even though they're very small. But they're ministers today. I was saved at the age of 8 years old. And today God is telling me, Aida, walk out your salvation. By faith, today, walk out your salvation. See, because only God knows what is going to come against me in an hour. This afternoon, tonight, tomorrow. Today, now, I walk out my salvation. I declare right now before the storm comes that I will arise over the storm. I will have the victory over the storm. I declare it now before I see the storm. That is what faith is now. Do we understand this? See, God is concerned about what are you declaring today, now. God is concerned about where is your faith today, now. He knows where it was yesterday. What he wants to know is where is your faith now. Not tomorrow, my brothers and sisters. Not in 5 years, in 3 years, when I go to Bible college, when I get more word, when I go to the Bible studies, when I come to church on a regular basis. No, God is saying, let me see your faith right now. Because right now, I'm about to do something because of the faith that you are pulling out on me. See, God is going to do something today because of the faith that you're releasing right now. And you see, we have to get to the understanding that the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. This is truth. No matter what, this is the truth. And see, that's hard, Pastor. When your body says just the opposite. Am I right? When your husband runs away with another woman, but your word is true. He loves me. By the power of your word, he's going to come back to me. And he's telling you, I ain't never coming back to you. But the word of God is true. And truth surpasses facts. Truth surpasses your understanding. It surpasses the circumstances that you're walking in today. Truth surpasses that. And see, what you think does make a difference. And I'm going to spend just a little bit of time there because it's not the core of my message, but it is part of the message. What you think does make a difference. What do I mean by that? Your thinking affects your life. You understand that? Do you understand that this, not this, this is the battlefield that Satan plays in. Not here. Here. So what you think makes a difference and it affects all of your life. God is concerned about what you think. Your thinking will affect your health. Your thinking affects your finances. Your thinking affects your marriage, your children. Your thinking affects everything about your life. Your thinking affects your nation. How you think affects this nation. The nations, this state. And so, along those lines, I want you to understand that Satan will set for you mind traps. Mind traps. What do I mean by a mind trap? If your thinking does not align with the Word of God, I'm telling you now that Satan is setting a mind trap for you to think as he thinks. This has got to fill your mind. So that when Satan comes in with his lies, it's got no room to register in your mind. Because your mind is filled with the Word of God, which is truth. But if you're not filling your mind with the Word of God, trust me, Satan is filling it with fear and doubt and lies and deceptions and delusions. He'll set up mind traps wherever the Word of God does not take up residence. It's got to take up residence in your heart. It's got to take up residence in your mind. Mind traps. So what is a mind trap? A mind traps are patterns of wrong thinking. That's a mind trap. Some people like to call it a stronghold. But strongholds are out here. Mind traps are in here. Understand what I'm saying? The way we communicate with one another is typically and largely based on the words that we speak. Now, I can communicate with my husband just in the way I look at him. How many know that? If I look at him a certain way, he's like, okay, today's the day. And then he puts a big smile on his face. Now, if I look at him another way, he says, oh boy, I'm in trouble today. So we can communicate with our eyes. And we can communicate with body language. Is that not true? You know, I give you my back when you're talking to me. What do you think I'm telling you? I don't want to listen. I ain't got time for you. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Keep walking. How about as you go like this? Yeah, that's a clear message. Yeah, there you go. We talk with our body, but mostly our system of communication is with our words. So the question for us as Christians, what words are coming out of your mind, out of your mouth? The words that come out of your mouth are the words that are in your mind. What are you thinking is eventually going to be what you are saying. And what you say with your words, can I tell you something, will create an image. Images are powerful. They may be wrong. They may not necessarily always be accurate and right. But an image will definitely have an impact in your life. So a mind trap. A mind trap are thoughts, okay? Thoughts that create images. Good images will result in good harvest. Bad images result in a bad harvest. Therefore, creating a mind trap. So go with me to 2 Corinthians 10. Because we need to break some mind traps. Though this is not my message, but I want to give this to you anyway. Because you see, we're going to go into a new year. We're closing out an old year. We're going into, some of us need to go into the new year breaking some old patterns of thinking, which are mind traps. If they don't align with the will and the Word of God, then the enemy has set for you a mind trap. You're going to be thinking, in other words, my father was poor, my grandfather was poor, my grandmother's poor, my mother's poor, my aunt is poor, therefore I will be poor. How many know that's a mind trap? That is not the Word of God. Well, the doctor said that, you know, I've got 3 months to live. The doctor said that it's going to get ugly before it gets better. The doctor said that I'm going. How many know that's a mind trap? Because God said that by my stripes you have been healed. It's a mind trap, and you have got to break it. Can I tell you something? God won't break it for you. he did what he had to do when he was crucified on the cross, when he died on the cross, when stripes were put upon his back. That's when he did what he had to do for you. Now he's giving you authority so that you can enforce what he did at the cross. But it's done. Can I tell you, Satan is defeated. It's done. But you got to enforce his defeat. And here's what else you got to do. You've got to enforce your victory. You can't just enforce Satan's defeat. You got to say, I enforce your defeat, but I walk in my victory. And then walk it out as best you know how. Use your words. Use your faith. Walk out your victory. Are you with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? I'm going to read, well, verse 3, I think, through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Just let's stop there for a second. As powerful as we have military weapons, the Bible says mere human weapons. I don't know about you. I've never been in a military service other than the Army of God. And that's the greatest military service of all. My husband has been in the Marines. He was in the Marines for 4 years. And I know he came home looking so cute in his uniform. Wow. And he had over here a medal. Honey, were you an expert or are you a marksman or what were you? He was an expert, what, rifle shooter? Rifle shooter. How many know when he looked at the target, he hit it. And he was good at it. That weapon that he held in his hand does not compare to the weapons that God has given us. Let's read on. For the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare, they're not physical. Weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. And you can also put in there mind traps. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead, this is what we got to do, this is what we're called to do, this is our homework, and we lead, we take every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, who is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Take every thought that does not agree with the Word of God captive, because as you think, so you are. You think you're poor, you'll remain poor. You think you're sick and diseased, so you'll remain sick and diseased. You think you're unintelligent, you think you're not bright, you think you're dumb, so you will act dumb. Not that you will be dumb, but you will do dumb things. Why? Because you're not thinking the way God thinks. Because God's ways have not yet become your ways. Because God's reasonings are not your reasonings. Because God's mind needs to be operating in you. How many know the mind of Christ is in us? So let God's thoughts and God's words and God's ways be that comes from you. How many know when we do that, it's win-win. Win-win. Not win and win and lose and win and lose. It's win and win and win and win. How many prefer that? Let me tell you something. I want to be a winner all the time, not sometimes. Not hit and miss. Because see, if I miss it, I could miss it on an important issue in my life. Hit and miss. You don't know, oh, I'm going to win that battle. I'm losing that one. You know what that one was? The life of my son. Well, I'm going to win this one. You know what? I'm going to get that job promotion. But I might lose this one. You know what that one was? My healing. I don't want to win, win, and lose, lose. God says you're a winner, you're a champion, you're an overcomer all the time. How good is God? And very good all the time. That's what my brother taught me. Every time I come here, he reminds me that my God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is truth. Yes, it is true. So we got to take every thought captive. We do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us. Jesus Christ sent, he said, when I go, he'll come. How many know he's here? The Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He will guide you. He will lead you in your thinking. And he always, always, always points you to Jesus Christ and his word. How many know Jesus Christ and the word are one? Are one. So we need to be established in God's thinking, not the ways of the world. Oh my gosh. Not the ways of the world. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's not really for this message, but it's that little prophetic flow that's coming up in me right now. Because of the different places that we've been going to and the different churches and the different atmospheres, I hear a lot of people talking and ministering and people just talking about, you know, I'm not going to let God abort my destiny. I mean, no, that's a good thing. I'm not going to let my destiny be aborted. Now, look, I'm giving you a heads up. This doesn't really relate to my message, but it's something that I'm feeling that it needs to be said. I will not ever let God abort my destiny. He's not, the devil's not going to take my destiny from me. Yet, Pastor, if I'm off, you correct me in your office. And yet we got important elections coming up here. We got very important elections coming up. Can I tell you, how many Christians do I got in the house? Come on, how many Christians are in the house? God will make sure that the devil doesn't abort your destiny as long as you make sure that you don't vote for somebody who believes in abortion. I don't care what your ethnicity is. God doesn't care what your color is. He doesn't care what country you were born in. He doesn't care if you have an allegiance to one party, one political party versus another party. If you're a son, if you're a daughter of the Most High, and you're talking about, and I'm not going to let God abort my destiny, but you vote for somebody that believes in abortion, be careful. That's all I can say. Just be careful. Be careful, because God will judge. Now, again, that's not part of the message, but Christians need to be told, advised, counseled, encouraged that you need to vote according to the word of God. Doesn't matter what politician has promised you what. Doesn't matter whether you like him or you love her or you can't look at him or you can't stand her. If he or her are voting for abortion, don't. You don't. I'm just standing here telling you so that you are protected. Because that blood of those millions of babies, not fetuses, not a clump of cells, will be on your hands. And that's just the word of God, and it just needs to be said. Amen. Amen. Yes, he is, Pastor. Yes, he is. So we need to be established in the word of God so that we can be thinking as God thinks. See, because when you accept the lies of the devil, then truth goes out. Can I tell you that the lie of the devil and the truth of God can't coexist in the same temple? Just cannot. Because what you're saying is lies is darkness. Truth is light, and you're going to put both of them together. Cannot. Cannot. First of all, true light dispels darkness. True light. True light. I'm not talking about putting on white clothes and think that's light enough. I'm talking about the true light. When God abides in you, his way, his thinking, his word, true light will dispel the lies, the deceptions, and the darkness. And the two cannot abide in the temple of God. You can't receive truth's reward if you're willing to compromise the word of God. Did you hear what I said? How many know truth has a reward? The Bible speaks of it. Truth's reward. And you're entitled to it if you walk and live the truth of God. If you accept the lies and the deceptions and you're willing to compromise. People say, you know, I'm not really lying. I'm not really, you know, I'm not doing it. But you compromised. You were quiet when you should have opened your mouth. I know this is getting a little strong, but maybe it's because of the elections coming up and we got to do something, church. You got to take a stand now or forever shut your mouth. I'm just making it as plain because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have somebody come back and tell me, this country, da-da-da. I said, well, what did you do on election day? Well, I stayed home. You stayed home, then shut up. Well, I voted for this one, and this one believes in abortion whenever, however, at whatever, then shut up. Because the blood of those babies is on this land and in your hands. I know God is merciful, and I'm working on it. I'm working on mercy. I ain't there yet, Pastor, but I'm working on it. How many know there's only one true God? His name is not Aida. I'll just tell you that much. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God forever. When I was in Bible college, you know, they assign you, I think I've shared this with you, they assign you some books that you must read. And one of the books that was assigned to us was a poet, a writer by the name of Maya Angelou. I don't know if anybody's ever, do you know her? Okay. I admire this woman. She's gone now. She passed on. But I read all her books. I read her bio. And one of her poems always just impacted me and touched me. And just she had a way of speaking and talking and moving that I just, you know, I don't know if she was a Christian. But, man, I had prayed that she would be because I just liked her. I really liked her. I admired her work. I mean, she won Pulitzer Prizes. She won the Presidential Award of Freedom. Accomplished writer, accomplished poet, and so one of the poems that she wrote that I'll never forget was Still I Rise. Still I Rise. I'm not going to read the poem to you. It's beautiful. It's piercing. So maybe you could Google it, you know, Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. But that was one of the lines of the poem, and I'll just read you the line. The line goes like this. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. In other words, you might trample on me. You might put me in chains. You might put me in bondage. You might spit at me. You might mock me. You might persecute me. You might try to kill me. But like dust, I'm going to rise. See, this woman had so much tenacity and so much grit. And I thought, well, I don't know if she's Christian, but if she isn't, we Christians ought to adopt that. Still I rise. I'll rise above the storm. I'll rise above the fray. I'll rise above complacency. I'll rise above that which the enemy is trying to do to my life. Still I will rise. And you see, can I tell you that rising is in your DNA. The power of rising is in your genes. It's in your blood. It's by the very blood of Jesus and his resurrection that you and I have risen from the dead. How many know you and I were once dead in our sins? But I've risen from that. You've risen from that. See, rising is in your blood. Rising is in your DNA. It's in your genes. Rising is your legacy. It's your destiny. And God said, by my work on the cross, it will not be aborted. Your destiny will not be aborted. And so we rise. And so we rise. See, whatever the enemy puts at your feet, whatever lie, whatever report comes back, you can rise above it because of who God is, because of who he is. It's because of what he's done that you can rise above it. You got to know that in this day, now, you need to rise above it. I tell my husband, listen, chew the word. He's a pastor. He knows. But sometimes you got to have somebody tell you. When I talk to my husband, I don't necessarily, baby, you know, you got to chew the word. No, to honey, you got to get on another protocol. Did I not tell that to you a couple of weeks ago? You need to change lifestyle. Not a bad lifestyle. I need to change my, I take inventory, say, where am I at with you, God? I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And I've been slacking off here and I've been getting a little weak and wishy-washy here and a little wimpy there. Where do I need to rise up? And so we're getting close to the end of the year. You ask God, God, where do I need to rise up? I got to take it higher. I got to go higher. I got to go deeper in you. And see, the power of that is already in you. The power of the rise is already in you. How many know God made you to walk a life of victory here and now? Can I tell you something? When you and I get to heaven, when people say, are you walking victoriously? You're going to go, what do you mean? Of course I'm walking victoriously. There's no defeat in heaven. They'll say, we don't know that word in heaven. You know, they don't know the word defeat in heaven. Because all they have is victory. Victory was meant for here. The here and now. This is where victory is meant for. So we have to break loose of those mind traps that tell us, well, one day when I get to heaven, you know, no, now. God says, walk it out now. Work out your salvation now, today. Faith is now. How many know God is now? How many know what he did yesterday was for me now? Can you believe that? See, you can't have it until you can believe it. That's why I'm repeating it over and over. And I know that I get louder and louder, so forgive me. But, you know, it's just that zeal. I just, you know, I always tell God, God, you know, I don't want to get loud, but I want to drive the point home, so I get loud, so you'll forgive me. Hallelujah. We got to rise above the things that are pulling us down. You know, I've shared with you and I've shared with us Facebook. I don't know what it is with Facebook, but Pastor, I said, I'm not doing Facebook today. I'm still doing this, Pastor. I'm not doing Facebook today. And then I open up Facebook and I'm in there like for 30 minutes, Pastor. 30 minutes in stupid Facebook. Accomplishing nothing. Doing nothing. I mean, I'm just telling you about me. And here I am, and people say, oh, Pastor Aida, you know, yeah, but Pastor Aida, once she opens up Facebook, she's in there for 30 minutes. God, I need discipline. Because, see, I read everybody's, what they're saying. I go, that's not true, so I want to respond. That's not true. That's a lie, and I want to tell the truth. That's not true. That's fake news, and I want to tell them the real news. And I said, I'm only going to go in 5 minutes, Lord. Just 5 minutes. 30 minutes later, I skipped a devotional, Pastor. Can I tell you, if I'm doing that with Facebook, what are you doing that with? I'm just asking. TV, radio, music, games, porn. I don't know. But God knows. Got to rise above it. See, because if we're not rising above it, then we are being restrained by the devil. And I feel it. I can tell you that. I sit there on my little cell phone, and oh, she is so off on that point. Let me just, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And then I think, you know, I got to get to this. I got to get to that. And I still finish the sentence, and I do another little paragraph. God, just one more paragraph, one more line, and it'll make it clear. You know what I'm being? I'm being restrained. And I'm telling you about me. I'm being contained. I'm being held. And I should be rising above that. Because I've got the authority and the power to do it. I need to do it. And if I feel like I can't, then I call upon the Holy Spirit. Help me do this thing. Listen, I used to have a battle with chocolate. Now I can stay away. Olivia, I used to... Pastor Olivia and I would go back a long, long time, like we said, and she said, Pastor, I had to drink more water, drink more water, drink more water. And I every time she's like, oh, okay. And I go get chocolate. You know, until God gave me the discipline to leave chocolate and go to the water. Now, it sounds silly, but without water, you die. and you dry up, and there's a lot of health issues about that. It sounds funny, but see, the devil knew what he was doing. So you got to give it all to God. Give the little and the big to God. God can do it all. He can do the little. He can do chocolate. He can do Facebook. He can do porn. He can do drugs. He can do alcohol. God can do opiates. He can do it all. Go with me to Acts 1. Praise God. And I don't mean to be funny about the things that and I'm like, God, what is it with this Facebook thing? I hate this thing. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Listen to me. I want you to hear me say this about you. You are a conqueror. You are champions. You are supernatural beings. You're made in his image. You are custom designed by the very hand of God. You are his workmanship. You are not an accident. You are a blessing going somewhere to happen. Can I tell you what else you are? You're the children of the resurrection. You are the children of the... And being a child of the resurrection means you rise. You rise. You rise. You need to hear that. And you need to say that over yourself. Are you with me in the book of Acts, chapter 1? Okay, so I'll start in verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. How many like that? I mean, this is what he said. Who said this? Who said this? He said that to you. You shall receive power. And of course, the Amplified goes on to amplify ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many here are Holy Spirit baptized? Come on. Woo! Then you got this. Listen to me. You got this. You got this. All right. And you shall be my witnesses. Whose witnesses? Jesus' witnesses. In Jerusalem. That means here. In your Jerusalem. Right here. Orange County, Riverside, Corona, wherever you live, California. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And when he said this, when Jesus said this, listen to this, because this is what I want to go to. And when Jesus said this, even as they were looking at him, when the disciples were looking at Jesus, okay, Jesus got caught up. And a cloud received and carried him away out of their sight. Can you only imagine this? Remember I said an image is a powerful thing. See, words here, I'm reading these words. And now I got an image. Very powerful thing. When he had said this, when Jesus said, verse 8, to the disciples, the apostles, even as they were looking at him, Jesus all of a sudden gets caught up in the air. Pastor, caught up in the air. They're talking to him. The next minute he's up in the air. Hello? Okay? He's caught up in the air. And a cloud received and he carried him away out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they, the disciples, the apostles, were gazing intently into heaven as he went, behold, two men dressed in white robes suddenly stood beside them. So that was a suddenly moment. These two men, they were there. First they weren't there, then they were there. Now if you study this out, these two men are not human beings. They're angelic beings. Okay? If you study it out, you got to do some studying. Okay? You don't just read and then I don't get it. So get it. So study it. So do some more reading. Go somewhere else. Go to the other book. Go to the book that complements this one so that you do get it. So then all of a sudden there was angelic beings. Verse 11, this is what they said. This is what the angelic beings said. Okay? Men of Galilee, why do you stand there gazing into heaven? And I stopped there for a moment years ago. I parked right at that verse. And I said, wait a minute. You're going to ask me this silly question. What am I doing looking at heaven? I just had Jesus in conversation with me, talking to me, man to man. Now he's up in heaven. And you're asking me, why am I looking up? Because I ain't never seen anything like this in my whole life. Because this is powerful. Because this is something that I've never seen before. I may never see again. This is impacting me. I'm in awe right now that this Jesus who was just in conversation with me is up in the heavenlies and gone. I don't even see him anymore. So I said, why do you ask such a silly question? Let's read on. This same Jesus who was caught away and lifted up from among you into heaven, they assure them, will return in just the same way in which you saw him go into heaven. So can I tell you something? The disciples were amazed. How many of us are still amazed at who our God is? See, you got to look up from whence your strength cometh. Too many of us are looking at the circumstances like this or like this. God says, look up, because I've risen. You got to put your eyes on Jesus. And I'm thinking that verse is in the Bible. This is just my thinking. I'm thinking that that verse is in the Bible because God, the Holy Spirit, wants to remind us where we ought to be looking. Don't look at your situation. You know what? If you don't like what your body's doing, don't look at it. Look up and say, God, change my body. I want healing now. Change my finances. Don't look at the checkbook that says zero. 0.00. Look at God and say, God, change those numbers. Change those numbers. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think sometimes verses are there to remind us of what we ought to be doing. Look up, people of God. Church of God, look up. That's where your strength comes from. Look up because he's risen. And can I tell you something? Then the earth will look up to you because you too have risen. You too have risen. You stand above the fray. Can I tell you something? You stand above the crowd because you're light dispelling darkness. And so I'm convinced that in these last days, we're going to need to be looking up to Jesus in a form of humility and honor and surrendering. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I am nothing. I need to look up to you so that you can direct me. Look up, because as you have risen, I too have risen. I want you to go ahead and stand to your feet. I know you want to celebrate somebody, and I think we've got communion today. Is that right? Okay. So let's just go ahead and stand up right now. I'm going to read this last verse, and then I'll close. Hallelujah. People of God, it's time to look up. People of God, it's time to get a revelation that you are risen. You have risen. And one day, when Jesus comes to take us home, we're going even higher. Woo! We're going. But you know, while you're here, it's okay to soar like an eagle. Pastor, you read that this morning. While here, God is saying, soar like the eagles. Woo! How many know eagles go high? You know, the one thing about the eagle is they don't want to fly where anything is dead. You know that? They don't want to fly where anything is decayed. They fly above. They fly high and then look down and they target their prey. And they don't walk around. It's not like vultures. That's another sermon. Vultures walk amongst the dead things to nibble and to chew. An eagle will never do that. An eagle flies high. It soars high. It looks at its prey and says, I'm coming for you. Comes in, targets it, takes it up, takes it out. That's what you and I can do. That's what you and I can do. Last verse I want to read today, 2 Corinthians 4. You don't have to turn there. I know you're standing. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are hedged in sometimes. Yes, we are. Pressed on every side. Sometimes we're troubled and oppressed in every way, but we're not camped or we're not crushed. Hallelujah. How many know you're not crushed? You're not crushed. You may have pressure on you, but you're not crushed. We can suffer embarrassments and we're perplexed at times and unable to find a way out, But we are not people of despair. We are pursued, yes. We're persecuted, you bet, and we're hard driven. But we are not deserted, because God is always with us. You will never stand alone as a child of God. How many know his name is Emmanuel? God is with me always. We are struck down sometimes to the ground. Even like Maya Angelou said, you may trod me like I'm dirt, but like dust, I will rise. Korabashe. We are struck down to the ground at times, but we're never struck out. We're never struck out. And God says, and you cannot be destroyed. He comes, the enemy comes to destroy you, but you cannot be destroyed. He'll try. But see, you will rise above destruction. How many know the fowler sets up a snare? He who is a hunter will set up a snare to trap you, but you can't be trapped unless you walk into the trap. God says, I won't let him destroy you. That's why I went to the cross. Always carrying about in the body the liability and the exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus, so that the resurrection life of Jesus may be shown forth by you and in you and through your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And still I rise. And the word of God would have us know today, resurrection is not about Easter. It's not about dyed eggs and little pretty yellow chicks. Resurrection is about the power that God has put in you. Your DNA is a rising DNA, overcoming DNA, victorious DNA. That's what resurrection is. It's not about a date, a holiday, an event. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a mentality. It's about as I think, so I am. Let us go and close our eyes. Want to close in prayer and go to prayer now. Pray about this, because can I tell you something? Storms are coming. Political storms are coming. But like Pastor said, you don't need to worry. God's seated on the throne. He knows all things. He knows what's coming before you can even smell it or imagine it. And so I just thank you, Lord, that you're in control. You're seated on the throne. Nothing comes as a surprise to you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are taking ground. That we take back what the enemy has attempted to steal from us. Whether it be our joy, whether it be our peace, whether it be our health, whether it be our finances, whether it be the job, whether it be my marriage, whether it be my kids. I'm taking it back, Lord. Because I rise today in power, authority, in grit, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabasha. These are the days to show the world the God that you believe in. Tell them, my God is the God of love, but he's the God of all power and authority. And the devil is under my feet. Oh, Rabashi Karabasa. We are about to close a year. Lord, we're not going out with our tails tucked between our legs. We're not going out, Father God, as whipped sheep, as slaughtered sheep without a shepherd. We're going out, Lord, following after you. We're going out as you lead us, as you direct us, as you order our steps. We follow after you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that for us, you have parted Red Seas. I thank you, Father God, that for us, mountains have been moved. I thank you for us, Father God, demons went into swine and the swine decided, I don't want this, so I will kill myself. Devils fear God's children. Thank you that today, Father God, we're taking back authority. We're telling the devil, you have no place in our lives. You have no place in our body. You have no place in our church. You have no place in our cities, in our home. You have no place in California. We have no place in the nations, America. We're taking back our land. And this for the glory of God. And Lord, we surrender it all to, we surrender our marriage. We surrender our finances. We surrender the church, Lord. We surrender our very lives to you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Direct our steps today, Lord. Lord, may the lost be saved today. May the sick be healed today. May the confused, Father God, have the mind of Christ today. May those who fear today walk in courage and in boldness today, Lord. Lord, we're taking back ground today. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus, there's power in the blood. There's power in the name. There's power in the word. Lord, I thank you that you have put in us a righteous indignation to stand, decree, and declare. And I thank you, Father God, that even as this awesome woman said, devil, you may trod me in the dirt, but like dust, like God has placed in me, I will rise. I overcome because of what Jesus has done in my life. I thank you for this, Lord. I bless this church, Lord. I bless these people here today. Risers, everyone. Champions, everyone. Overcomers, everyone. Victors, everyone, Lord. I bless our pastor here, Lord. The leadership in this house. I bless this city, Lord Jesus. I declare in this city a holy shift. I declare holy shifting in this city, Lord. Change the atmosphere of this city, Lord Jesus. I'm declaring a harvest of souls right here in this city, Lord Jesus. I'm declaring the church will get her voice back. We'll get her grit back. We'll get her backbone back, Lord Jesus. We'll reach out in love, Lord, but we're taking it back by the power of our faith in you. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And all who can believe this, we say, amen. Give them a shout of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Lord God. The word of God has been declared today, and the word of God is truth. What an appropriate time even for us as a body of Christ to take communion. Because from the very lips of our Lord Jesus, he said, remember these things. And so, you know, from where you are at, I'm going to read a portion of the scriptures because we're not going to take this lightly. But a powerful time for us to remember what Jesus has done at that cross for us. The victory that he has accomplished at that cross. His death at that cross has given us life. Yes. Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read this. These are from the holy word of God, the scriptures. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We have to remember what Christ has done. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, we honor you today. We thank you for your manifested presence in this gathering. Holy Spirit of God, it is you who reveals Jesus more and more to us. That we are not to rely on past revelations, but something fresh and something new. That even in our taking this communion, God, as we partake communion together, Holy Spirit of God, you're reminding us of that perfect sacrifice that Jesus did at that cross. The blood that he shed on that cross, his broken body has power and it affects us even now. Even now, hallelujah. And so, Lord, this is a powerful time for us. And we are actively calling to our mind what you have done. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We bow down our hearts before you today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your giving up your life that we may have life. And we are not to take this lightly. And we thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus, that through your blood, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins, God. And that through your blood, now we have direct access to the throne of grace of Father God. That now we can have this boldness and confidence to know that we are reconciled with you. And so, God, we are not going to take this communion lightly. But, God, we would want to make things right with you. And this is the time that God has given us. And so, Lord, we come before you just as we are. If there's someone new and you have not yet committed your life to Jesus, let this be the day. For today is the day of salvation. Receive Christ in your heart. Surrender your life to Christ. Receive the life that he has, the life he's giving through his death at that cross. And just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for your blood. And today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Just say that to the Lord. And if you're someone who you have known the Lord for quite a while and things are not going well, you're discouraged, you're dry, going dry, those things can happen to any one of us. But today, we would like to come to you, Lord Jesus, because you're our good and great shepherd. Amen. Let's come to him just as we are and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your commitment to watch over me, that nothing can separate me from your love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the power of your Spirit, helping me every day to overcome all my fears, my weaknesses. But today I declare I'm an overcomer and more than a conqueror through you who loved me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As we call on the ushers, as the elements are being passed, let's just continually just let this be a moment with our Lord. Hallelujah. And just thank him for what he has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Before we partake the elements, you know, we are reminded of the power of declaring what we believe in our hearts. There's power in our confession. And so I'm going to ask you to say with me, before we partake this communion, what communion is all about and what we are going to declare. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, just follow me and say this. I lay hold of all the benefits of Jesus Christ, full redemption for my life, forgiveness, wholeness, strength, health, sufficiency. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you, God, as we declare that today. This bread represents your broken body. You came here on earth to die for us. Your body that has been broken, pierced, nailed. And that, Lord, oh God, through your death, now we have life. And that through your death, now we have all of these things, oh God. And so, Lord, as we partake this bread, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your broken body. Thank you for building up our faith to believe that all of these benefits are ours in your holy name as we partake the bread. Amen. Lord, this cup represents the blood that you shed on that cross. The blood of Jesus that never loses its power. Your blood, Lord Jesus, that we have the forgiveness of all of our sins and that now we are reconciled with the Father and now we have peace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that that same blood, we declare that we have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, you are the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. And we thank you that through your blood, we are made whole to do your will in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done as we partake the cup. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand and let's just... Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Lord! We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the victory, oh God, that we have in you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord! You're Lord of all, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. You may be seated for a while. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we would always say is we are always guided with the Word of God in everything that we do. And in the book of Galatians, it tells us that we are to share good things to those who share and share the Word of God with us. Amen. And so we're going to take a second offering. And we're doing this because, you know, how many of us were so blessed with the message today? Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. And so as the Word of God says in Galatians 6:6, let him who has taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. And so if you're going to issue a check, just make it payable to the New and Living Way. And we're going to take care of it that God's servant be blessed and, you know, with having shared the word of God to us. As we call on the ushers, as we take our second offering. Come on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of you are so strengthened and our faith so built up today? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give, as unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'd like to call on Hannah, too, before we pray for Sister Janet. Hannah, please remind us about something very important, an opportunity for us to be a channel of blessing. Yeah?
Hello. Hello.
How are you?
Isn't she like her dad? Just like her dad. Okay, jolly good old. All right, Hannah, come on.
Hey, this is just a reminder. Shoeboxes are due next week. I know that's kind of fast. Mm-hmm. So please bring in your shoe boxes. If you don't know how to make it, go ahead and bring all the materials next week. I just want to give you guys a heads up. I will not be here next week. So go ahead and ask Tita Luisa. Tita Luisa will help you guys out with that. And then I'll take care of everything when I get back. Okay, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. These are the shoe boxes, the Samaritan's Purse, through Samaritan's Purse. It's Operation Christmas Child. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, let's sing Happy Birthday. I guess that's the best way to start. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Janet. Happy birthday to you. The Jesus way. Happy birthday to you, and day of the year, Jesus near. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, and many more years to come. Amen. You know, earlier, Pastor Aida was sharing about how her relationship with Sister Olivia, it's like it's been for 30 years. It's about the same time for us. Oh, you forgot, girl? I'm older than you, but, you know, I don't forget these things. It has been even back Bethel days in L.A., 86, 87. So it's like 31 years. And one thing about our Lord, he's a God of relationships. God is a God of relationship, and he's teaching us how to value relationships. And, you know, my life is blessed because of knowing Sister Janet. Amen. We have gone along, and we thank the Lord how until now we're still serving the Lord together. Amen. And we would have so many stories to tell and to share about. There was even one time when they used to live in Glendale. Monday nights we will come together and pray in their house. We would watch an anointed teaching, and then we're going to pray together as a church. Do you know that in that compound, all of our neighbors got born again? Remember those years, yeah. Sister Jay?
Even outside.
And so, you know, we thank God for those years, Sister Janet, and we're looking ahead for more years.
God, we...
Yeah, we have grown. Grown. No. Shh.
No.
Because you might look at our old pictures and it's like, oh, look. How do you call that? TBT, throwback pictures? And you look at the old pictures and you look at the now. What happened? That's why, you know, I don't like selfies. Never mind. But, you know, anyway, we honor you. And as a church, as a family of God, we're so blessed. You know, in the ministry, there are challenges. Do you know that? Even in the work of the Lord, there are challenges. But we've seen her that in spite of the many changes, she's still here. Some might have left, but you know what? She said, talking about rising up. When there wasn't anyone to play the keyboards, she enrolled in a piano lesson thing. And she has, you know, one thing about her ministry is her ministry multiplied. There was a time wherein she was the only one just leading Sunday after Sunday, leading us, the congregation, in praise and worship. But now we have Brother Tutu. We have Sister Louisa now. We have Sister Didi. Praise God. We have Sister Kay now. Where's Sister Kay? Do not hide. She has multiplied. And that is a good sign that she has encouraged others. That others have followed her footsteps as far as faithfulness. So we thank the Lord for you. And so let this be an opportunity for us, because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so it's okay also to bless her, okay, with material things, okay? Yeah. But we're going to turn to God and say, Lord, bless her abundantly. Amen. Are we ready for that? Amen. Yes, let's do that right now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, what a day that we can rejoice over your goodness, your love for us. That, Lord, when you created Sister Janet, you had so many thoughts and plans, Lord God, about thoughts of her. And one of your plans was that, Lord, she be used by you. Amen. She came to know you personally first. And that because she has experienced your love, God, now she's so excited to share that with others. Lord, she's a soul winner. She loves seeing so many people come to the Lord. So before your sight, your word says that anyone who wins souls is wise. She's wise before your sight because of her love for people, that she would want many people to come to know Jesus the way she knows Christ in her life personally. Father God, we thank you for her faithfulness and her commitment to the work of the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing of your Spirit upon her life. That, Father God, it's the power of your Holy Spirit flowing through her life. Even when she sings and touches that keyboard, it's the same anointing that was upon David that flowed upon his life, oh God. That, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, hearts are drawn. We as a family of God, we're so blessed to have someone like her, God, to be a part of us. We thank you, God, that, Lord, even in the many challenges that she has faced all throughout these years, one thing has remained, and the truth is, God, you are faithful. The faithfulness you've shown her in the past, you will still show to her in her present challenges and even what concerns over her tomorrows and the tomorrows of her family, God. We thank you, Father God, even for providing for her needs, God, not just materially, but even emotionally. And above all, the double portion of your anointing. Yes, we agree with that, oh God. Yes. That, Lord, you continually anoint her, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you open the floodgates of heaven and pour out your blessings upon her life, oh God. That her life continually, Lord God, be a channel of blessings to others, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Say something.
Yeah, I like that message. I'm crying because... I have a vision of Jesus just sitting down and listening when we pray.
Yes.
As if you're talking to him. That's what I see. That's why I feel like crying right now, because every time we talk to him, he's there. He's just sitting down and listening to us.
Yes.
And the word that ministers to me is, we will rise up
above
our storms.
That's right, yes.
And I like that word. Yeah. That ministers to me that I had Rhema and the Holy Spirit reminded of me.
Yes.
Reminded me about surely, the word surely. Mm-hmm. Good thing there's the word surely. Mm-hmm. He took every infirmity. He bore every sickness. He bore every disease. He bore every pain and shame.
Yes.
Surely his mercy and his goodness will follow us all the days of our lives. That we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
I just like that word, surely.
Yes.
Because the Lord knows that we will doubt.
That's
we will doubt sometimes.
At times, yes.
Right?
That's right.
That's why the Lord put that in his word, the word surely.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Janet. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we ready to declare praises again to the Lord? Amen. Let's all rise up. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him for this, what he has done in our midst. Isn't he wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you once more for what you have done in our hearts, God. Something powerful, oh God, that Lord, even when we leave this place, oh God, the power of your Spirit is flowing through our lives, oh God, that you've encouraged every heart, comforted everyone, Lord God, and above all, to be reminded that the power of our Lord Jesus through his resurrection is living in us and flowing through us, oh God. Thank you for touching everyone and blessing your people today. And Lord, oh God, we thank you once more, even as we would partake our lunch together, that you be in our midst, oh God. Thanking you, Lord God, for all the blessings you've given us. May you continually, Lord God, just guide your people. Protect each one. That, Lord, your mighty hand serve as a canopy, Lord God, because you're a refuge and our strength, oh God. That, Lord, oh God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper nor stand, oh God. And so, Lord, we declare what was declared earlier, God, that because you are our good and great shepherd, that surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together. Brother Toto, come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, Jesus.
Are we blessed today?
Yes.
We will rise up. Amen? Yes. Not tomorrow, but today.
Yes, yes. Praise God. Glory to God.
We need to work out our salvation. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, but today. Now. Thank you. Let us celebrate our God.